Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you back to the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I am the host of this program and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. I'm so glad that you have joined me this afternoon. It's a sunny afternoon here in Tyler, Texas, enjoying the fall weather. There is lots of college tennis happening all across this great nation of ours, and welcome you into the program if this is your first time listening. If it is your first time listening to the UR Tennis Network, we want to congratulate you. You have found one of the best-kept secrets in all of tennis. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. We have been broadcasting on air. This is our fourth year that we've done this. We have over 1,400 hours of tennis. Excuse me. We have 1,400 hours of broadcasting interviews, tennis interviews, that we have offered to the public through the blogtalkradio.com site, also available on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes podcast section and subscribe to the UR Tennis Network there, and we will keep you busy for days, now going on months and years straight. We have been interviewing lots and lots of tennis people out there. We tend to go after the tennis stories that other people or other networks cannot bring to the air. We devote usually an hour to them and give them a chance to tell their story. My area of interest happens to be college tennis. I'm a former collegiate coach of about 20 years total. Spent most of my time at the community college, junior college level, associated with Tyler Junior College and Lee College in Baytown, Texas. And I spent some time at the Division I level with Southwest Texas State, which is now Texas State University, and also spent some of my summers at Stanford University with Coach Dick Gould and John Wintlinger. We also offer several other programs that are happening in the course of our week. Monday morning, 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, we have Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone out of Atlanta, Georgia. Wednesday before I come on the air, we have the great Chuck Creasy, who tackles the aspects of American tennis. He deals with the issues regarding American tennis and does so well with those issues. And we've introduced the Holding Court with David McIsaac and Vijay Paul, and those two guys are getting their feet wet in this water out here and are doing a tremendous job. And today I was on the phone with John Denise. John Denise is the executive director of the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, and he will be launching his program in November, and we're excited to be adding that. If you're one of those people that loves to talk about tennis and just has a passion for interviewing people or talking to people about tennis, feel free to contact me via email. That's jhaynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, the number 10, the letter S, at gmail.com, jhaynestennis at gmail.com. And we'll be glad to visit with you about things. And as I've noticed through the network here, there are so many stories out here in this tennis world that just go untold. And we'd be glad to devote you some time to research, to tell those stories, and let America know some of the great heroes in American tennis that have not had their time. And we view ourselves as a complement to the TV networks that are out there. The Tennis Channel does a great job of showing television tennis. CBS, NBC, ABC, ESPN, They all do their part in contributing what they can to the sport of tennis. But they just can't devote an hour to these great people that they just don't have the time. So along came the UR Tennis Network, launched by some great people years and years ago under the moniker Hat Tennis. And we took it over and named it the UR Tennis Network. And here we are today, getting close to 300,000 listens on our network. We have over 1,400 hours worth of listened to shows. So we ask that you tell a friend. We don't do a lot of advertising here. Again, we are all volunteers here, true volunteers, true passionate people about what we do, and very excited about what we do. Now, if you're a follower of college tennis, we are in some exciting times. We have just completed what I consider one of the most glamorous tournaments in all of college tennis, and that is the National Small College Championships. And I'm going to cover that just briefly here, give some kudos to those kids that went out there and completed that tournament. And then today on today's show, we have head coach Jim Borndame, and he's from Middle Tennessee State. I'm excited about this interview. Coach Borndame and I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly. He's going to correct me if I'm wrong. But he and I know absolutely nothing about each other personally, and this is what excites me about this interview. I am here today to find out about Middle Tennessee State tennis, find out the direction they're going, find out about head coach, and see what that university is doing over there to help help tennis programs. So just hold on to your britches, and we'll get Coach Borndame on here in a second. First, let me get to that great collegiate tennis event. And if you don't know about the Small College Championships, this is truly one of the unique events that the ITA sponsors. All through the fall, the ITA hosts regional tournaments. It just happens that they put on Small College Regional Championships as well. They hold the junior college, Division II, III, NAIA divisions, and each of these regional championships crowns a champion. These champions, eight of them in these regions, are then invited to participate in a national small college championship. This small college championship this year was held at the Palmetto Tennis Center in Sumter, South Carolina. They crown an eventual champion in each division. And then, on top of that, the ITA hosts another tournament, which they call the Super Bowl Championship, which is in and of itself a unique event where they take these divisional winners and they pit them against each other to come up with a even more unique champion, which is the Super Bowl champ. The Super Bowl champ, which is a men's and women's singles and doubles winner, then gets invited to the National Indoor Tournament, the Intercollegiate Championships, which is hosted by the USTA Billie Jean King Tennis Center in Flushing, New York, in November. And these guys and these ladies get an automatic bid. So it's an outstanding event where these small college kids that for one reason or the other have been told academics, athletics, family situations, that they're unable to participate at the Division I level, they get their chance then to go showcase their games against some of the nation's best top talent at the Division I level. Which in my career, as I've noticed this, happens to be that when they go out there, they usually play a Pac-12 opponent. We all know that the Pac-12 usually houses the best players in the United States. So every once in a while, we get somebody that breaks through, and they beat a couple of rounds. But no one in the history, as far as I know, has won the National Small College Championship and actually won that Intercollegiate Championships. But my hope is that one day we will get that eventual champion that just blows the socks off those Division I people, and they take notice to the fact that those small college people work just as hard, put in just as many hours, and compete just like those Division I people. And that tennis is just as good, if not better at times, than what we see. But that's just my hope, and we'll see what happens with all that. Anyway, so let's just finish up this last Sunday, October 12th, and they had some new champions crowned, and there were some familiar faces victorious again in men's singles. Now, you got to forgive me here, and this is where it gets a little strange. There's small college championships, a lot of international players playing there, some American players mixed in there. On the women's side, I'm going to try this. Valentine Confalonieri of Lynn University and Emma Anilia and Linda Frischkin of Barry University defended the women's singles and doubles Super Bowl titles, respectively. On the men's side, Fernando Magajo of Armstrong State University knocked off defending champion Denny Zmak of Embry-Riddle to win the singles championship, and in men's doubles, Zmak and Jaime Sanchez Canamares Rios bested Daniel Riggs and Paolo Volpicelli of Lynn University, earning their second straight Super Bowl doubles title for Zmak and his third in 2 years. And we've had Embry-Riddle on before. Embry-Riddle is doing an outstanding job of putting players out there. And if you recall, at the U.S. Open men's singles final this year, they were directly connected to both those players because they had the coaches for both those players in their boxes. So Embry-Riddle, for some reason or the other, is very good at recruiting tennis players and turning them into tennis coaches. Now, those Super Bowl winners, as I mentioned, are off now, training harder than ever to make it to that intercollegiate tournament in November. The rest of these people, they probably have one more collegiate tournament for the fall, and then they're done, maybe two, just depends upon which area of the United States they're in. So we want to wish them the very best as they go through it. And for me, personally, sad to see the community colleges, junior colleges not win one of those things. Listen, people, it is a hard road to travel to win that Super Bowl championship. If you've never seen that event, I would encourage you to get out there and witness that. That is truly one of the largest events in college tennis, and it is so much fun to watch. Action nonstop from start to finish, life and death situations for these schools, and it is just truly an American tennis experience. And that's what college tennis is about. I really wish the ITA would consider more events like this. We have the spring launch, where they have and invite teams to all these different regions. I wish they would consider opening that up and inviting some of these small colleges to participate in that. And there are other things that they could do. And quit separating the classes, be an all-inclusive sport. It's beneficial to all the classes here, Division II, I, three, NAIA, JUCO, to come together and propel this sport forward. And these athletic directors sometimes don't see the benefit in this. And, we've got to change their attitude towards it and do what's best for tennis in the long run. So what's interesting about this is I've got two phone calls here on the line holding. One may be a question, one not. And if you're interested in today and calling in, that number is going to be 714-583-6853. Again, live listeners, 714-583-6853. We've got Coach Jim Borndame here on the line, and I'm going to try to bring him in first, and I hope that I get this right. Coach, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Jim, I'm having a great day. I hope the weather's nice up there for you. Is that the case?
Unfortunately, it actually just started drizzling out here in Murfreesboro, but supposed to be nice tomorrow, so as we kick off the ITA regional tomorrow here in Nashville.
Yeah, so you're getting excited for the regional. If I remembered when we scheduled this and I looked at your schedule, that's what made this interview particularly exciting. But small college finishing up and you Division I's now, you're getting ready to try to qualify for that national indoor championship.
Yes, sir. And actually, it's great for us. Vanderbilt University, who is a rival of ours and just 20 minutes down the road from Murfreesboro in downtown Nashville, is hosting. So, for our guys, for my team to be able to, stay in their own beds and just drive 20 minutes down the road and compete in this event, it's going to be a good opportunity for us.
Yeah, somewhat of a small home court advantage, so to say.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. A couple of my our supporters have already called, trying to find out what time we're going to play. Starting tomorrow, we've got four guys in the draw, and three of them are all seeded. My number one player, I think, is the fourth seed, and then another gentleman that's like the 9 through 16, and then two guys 9 through 16. So, but what's going to make it a little bit interesting is, for the first time, the Ohio Valley region, which is our region, is going to go ahead and host the event both indoors and outdoors. Typically, we've always designated, you know, all outdoor or all indoor. However, this year up at Vanderbilt, we're going to be doing both in and out. So, should be interesting.
Well, Jim, and I do this with all the guests that I have on come on my show, and we're going to talk real heavy today about Middle Tennessee State. Unfortunately, Jim, some of my listeners have no idea who you are. So if you would, just take a quick moment here and introduce yourself kind of biographically and how you ended up at Middle Tennessee State.
Sure. You know, I'm originally from a small suburb from Chicago called Wheaton, Illinois. I went on to play college tennis at Butler University in Indianapolis. Before starting a little bit of the coaching carousel, going to West Virginia University to be the grad assistant in the last year of that men's tennis program before it was dropped, to then compete or be the assistant coach at William & Mary for 1 year in Williamsburg, Virginia, before putting on 5 years with Coach Jim Thompson at Virginia Tech, going from assistant coach to associate head coach. And then transitioning back to the Midwest and doing 1 year at Drake University before finally settling here at Middle Tennessee State in 2010. So, a little bit of a coaching carousel for me.
Exactly, kind of a merry-go-round there.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I've been here at Middle Tennessee State now. I'm starting my fifth season. And, you know, the tennis program here has had a pretty strong, rich tennis tradition. We've actually got, I think we've had four ITA national champions. And then we've actually won the 2007 NCAA doubles championship. So we've got a lot of good things going on right now here as well. I think when we spoke earlier, I think I have to be the only college tennis coach in the country that is getting a brand new $5.8 million indoor tennis center and a $80,000 outdoor tennis scoreboard in the same season. So, you know, we're definitely building a strong program here and getting some of that tradition back.
Well, Jim, and that right off the bat answers the question about how supportive is Middle Tennessee State with their tennis programs up there. I mean, this school has made a tremendous step in the right direction for college tennis.
Yes. You know, I mean, what's great about this new project, I mean, it's taken me 5 years to get to this point. Middle Tennessee, we actually, the past 4 years, we have had to drive to Nashville to play indoor tennis. There are no indoor courts at all in Murfreesboro. Murfreesboro is about a city of about 120,000 people, and Middle Tennessee State is a university with the largest state university in Tennessee. We've actually got 25,000 students. It's larger than University of Tennessee. A lot of people don't realize that. But the indoor tennis project we're working together. We're teaming up with the city of Murfreesboro, and university has gone and raised $2.6 million, and the city is putting up the rest of the money. So it's going to be a dual project. The city will operate the facility, and the university will have access, basically a leasing courts. But it's going to be an MTSU-branded facility. So, you know, but we've done it with donations over the year and a lot of work and working out the details with the city.
Jim, it's a tremendous idea. I hope that those people listening in here that are college coaches themselves and trying to figure out how to navigate this system of raising money and cooperating. I mean, you guys are a model for how to get this done, and you didn't rush this project. I mean, this is a well-thought-out project.
Oh, yeah. No. I wish I could have sent you some drawings. We actually modeled, we can't take all the credit, we modeled this structure after Auburn University down in Auburn, Alabama. And, you know, it was a great situation because the university, we were looking to build, you know, 4 or 6 courts. And then the city, realizing how much revenue can be generated, we're actually building an 8-court indoor facility. It's going to be amazing with elevated seating, 2 scoreboards. It's going to be first class.
Yeah. And then throw the outside, the $80,000 outdoor scoreboard. Jim, this is a college coach's dream in 1 year.
Yes. No, I've been working on this for a number of years, and obviously a lot of this has come from building support from the local tennis community as well as alum that you know, really want to see the tennis program succeed and enhance the experience for the current student athlete.
Jim, we'll get back into that tennis program here in just a second. Let's talk about Middle Tennessee. You mentioned 25,000 students there. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, what's so attractive about Middle Tennessee? I mean, why would a kid want to come to Middle Tennessee?
Well, at the moment, in the state of Tennessee, for our bang for our buck, we are the least expensive state 4-year institution. In addition, right now, I think Forbes ranked us in the top 50 as far as I don't know the exact terminology, but quality for your money, education. So with our proximity to Nashville, we're a great option. Some of the different academic programs that we have are fairly specialized. Middle Tennessee is famous for some of their majors within the recording industry, which is housed in the communications. Obviously, Nashville being named the Music City, we get a lot of that. You were talking about Embry-Riddle University, which is actually the number one university for aerospace. Well, we are number 2 in the nation in aerospace. So we've actually got our own airport. We've got a number of our own airplanes. And then last, but our business school with a number of relationships with some of the major corporations here in Nashville, such as Bridgestone, Nissan we have one of the largest plants that's building those new Nissan Leafs that the business school is working with consistently. We've got a lot of programs, and then obviously with the proximity to Nashville, you know, it's a you get a lot of bang for your buck. Right now, I mean, that's the economic situation. People are looking for, you know, good, cheaper options.
Sure.
For school.
Yeah. I mean, 120,000 people there in Murfreesboro, 25,000 students there on campus. This has got to be somewhat of a college town, right?
Yeah. Actually, in the last census, Murfreesboro and Rutherford County, I guess we're the 5th fastest growing city in the U.S., or I guess county in the U.S., I should say. So a lot of people live in Murfreesboro, and they will often commute to Nashville. It's only a 20-mile drive. So the area is growing rapidly. There's a lot of development going up right now. They're building a lot of houses. It's a great place for person like myself with a young family.
It's got to be a great place to hang out on Friday and Saturday night if you're 20 minutes from Nashville.
Yeah, you know, it's actually pretty interesting. You know, Murfreesboro's got its own pretty cool little music scene itself. I actually lived here 5 years, and I think the only time I go to Nashville is to go to the airport or take my kids to the zoo. So You know, Murfreesboro offers me everything I need. So, but especially coming from being a big city guy, I like the small city feel.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, with everything in that proximity, I mean, are you guys getting a lot of Tennessee kids? Are these a lot of American kids? What happens here with the makeup of your university?
Yeah, you know, the lack of the indoor tennis center has really been a dampering on my recruiting as far as pulling some of the strong tennis players from Tennessee. You know, I've been fortunate. I've landed three. However, you know, having to drive to Nashville the whole month of January and February, it's, you know, for me to recruit a kid from Nashville and say, come to Murfreesboro and let's drive back and forth on, you know, 6 days a week to go practice, when, you know, they can go to a University of Tennessee that's got, you know, six indoor courts on campus, or a Vanderbilt, or a Memphis, University of Memphis, just signed an agreement with the Racquet Club of Memphis. You know, it's been difficult. So I'm hoping, and I know it's working. I'm getting a lot more success recruiting local Tennessee kids from Memphis and from Nashville at the moment, because obviously everyone knows about the indoor going up and can see the structure going up as we speak.
Yeah, well, with your history there, you for sure have been able to attract the international player, right, Jim?
Yes, you know, I have been. I've been able to do that. You know, it helps that our university president is very into cultural diversity and very proactive in helping me get students from all over the world. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, I'm looking for quality kids. You know, that want to work hard and get better, whether they're from, you know, I prefer that they're from Tennessee, but since I've been striking out quite often, losing guys to University of Tennessee and Memphis and even UT Chattanooga, which is another great school just down the road with their own indoor tennis center, it's been difficult. But I see the tide turning already with my recruiting already this season.
Gosh, I hope you carry around pictures of that facility, because, my goodness, you've got a great turning point now for kids.
Oh, yeah. So, and I hope it'll translate into this early November signing period. But we'll know in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. I know that's an eager time for everyone. Jim, you have been a fully funded program there at Middle Tennessee State, I hope.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're a fully funded program. We're actually pretty fortunate that we are very well funded, both with our travel and operating budgets, and it's great because I'm one of these, you know, I guess I hate the word mid-major, but you know, we've been competing with the ACC and the SEC, you know, in all five of my years here. You know, I think in 2013 we were able to beat both Virginia Tech and NC State in 2013 and get to as high as 32 in the country. I know last year we were in the 50s and 60s. This year I'm pretty excited about my team with having four seniors. We should be ripe to be someone to be to contend with. A lot of schools overlook us because we don't quite have the brand name that some of these NC States and Vanderbilts and Virginia Techs have.
Jim, I sure don't know many, and I use the term lightly as well, mid-major conferences that win NCAA titles.
Yeah, no, I actually, you know, the other day I was trying to do some comparisons and figure out, you know, we've had nine All-Americans at Middle Tennessee in men's tennis. I'm not so sure that there's too many power conference schools that can say that they have nine All-Americans in their history and an NCAA title. So, you know, when I get labeled a mid-major, I smirk at it because, I mean, that's definitely not how I label myself. And the recruits that I'm landing and getting commitments from are definitely not all considering other schools that I would, you know, think are mid majors. I mean, I'm competing with the Big Ten and the ACC and the SEC all the time.
Yeah, Tim, it kind of sounds like, and it just hear me out here. You got some kids with a chip on their shoulder, huh?
You know, I'd like to think so. I don't like them. I try not to have them, you know, think about that kind of thing when they're competing, but. You know, it's definitely something in my mind when we're playing against some of these schools, because I think sometimes we are looked down upon. But you know, like you said, you know, we use it to our advantage. We use it to motivate, get guys geared up, and at the end of the day, we still gotta play the matches. So it doesn't matter what color shirt or what school you go to. At the end of the day, we gotta compete.
Sure. Now, how many kids do you typically carry on your team, Jim?
You know, that's a good question. You know, it's actually one of my main bullet points that I use to sell my program to recruits is I only carry 8 players, and I do this on purpose because I started to see this trend among some of the larger universities and the power conferences that carry, you know, up to 15. I've seen 16 players on a roster. So I only carry 8, and I do that on purpose. And it's sometimes it's a little scary, you know, if the flu bug runs through your team. But you know, with only 6 playing, but I do that on purpose because I really like to build a tight knit team, have that small family feel to it. But more importantly, because I like to spend a lot of individual time with my guys. You know, we do a little individual workouts in the morning, and help them develop their game a little bit more. Then I feel like we can give them more of that personal attention than some of these squads with 16 guys. I'm not even sure how the coaches, some of those coaches, remember everybody's name. but you know, that's just one way I try to, you know, solidify a niche for me and for Middle Tennessee as I recruit some of these stronger players.
Sure. You have an
I mean, where would you?
Go
I'm
ahead,
sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just was going to say. I said, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're a strong tennis player, I mean, where are you going to think about going? You know, a university that's got 15 guys. And 2 coaches, or are you going to go to a school that's got, you know, 8 players? Where are you going to be able to possibly, most likely, develop your game? But at the end of the day, you know, the kids still have to make a decision. I still lose them to some of the schools with 15, 16 guys on their team.
Well, Jim, you know, you bring up an interesting point there with 16 guys. I mean, a coach, a head coach, an assistant coach, you're going to go cross-eyed. Looking at all those players, trying to figure out who to put in where, when, and how, right?
Yeah, you'd think. I mean, I have a hard enough time deciding who gets to play and whatnot with 8. But, you know, I see it time and time again. I don't negatively recruit, but I just bring up the facts, you know, as far as, I mean, there aren't too many men's tennis programs that carry 8 left. I mean, if you go across the board and talk to other coaches and look on the web and see that, I mean, I think the average size is probably 12 right now.
Yeah,
I think it's changed. I think quite a bit over the years of college tennis. I don't believe that it's usually been this many, but it's the new trend with these big budgets.
Well, now, Jim, do you have an assistant coach, a graduate assistant, to help you out?
Yes, sir. I've got Jordan Smith, a young man that just came over and started with me this summer. He played at University of Memphis, and he's been teaching over at the Racquet Club, the University of the Memphis Racquet Club in Memphis the past couple of years, and he's got a little tired of the grind of teaching a lot of lessons and wanted to get back to building relationships and working with, you know, a higher level kid. So he's doing a great job. I'm really excited about him. I expect you to see him as a head coach here in a few years.
That's good. It's good to have around somebody that also kind of motivates the head coach with that enthusiasm, right?
Oh yeah, no, yeah, he does a good job. Bring some new ideas to the table. I'm a little bit old school in that fashion, even though I think I'm still a fairly young head coach. some new. But as every coach does, you know, you have your go-to drills and ideas on things, and bringing somebody new to the table always kind of give you a little fresh look or try something different. And Jordan's done that, and he's not afraid to bring things up. So he's done a great job. He's going to be a good, very strong coach.
Well, Coach, are you a private lesson kind of guy? Do you do your doubles teams together? How do you work that, navigate that system?
I'm sorry, say that again, Jason.
Well, when you work out your kids kind of off the practice time, the normal team practice time, are you you give them private lessons, or do you work the doubles teams out together? What's your philosophy?
Yeah, no. So pretty much we just pair up guys in the morning based on class schedule. Like for example, this morning I was supposed to have, it wouldn't have rained on us. I was going to have just randomly just two guys, my assistant coach and I, have both come out, so we get that, you know, one player to one coach ratio there, and we often alternate just so that you know, we can continue to build rapport with every kid on the team. And obviously Jordan's got different ways to, you know, work on and ideas and drills to work on you know, certain kids kick serve and whatnot versus the way I do it. And, you know, one way is not better than the other, but, you know, one way may help student athlete understand it a little bit better or grasp it. You know, there's always, you know, a couple of different ways to skin a cat. So, that's good. I actually feel like we're getting a lot more development out of our guys. We've seen a lot more improvement based on the more we do the individual lessons, I call them, or private lessons, whatever you want to call them. Versus the team practice. In the team practice, I use it a little bit more for match play, focus on some doubles. Maybe there's some things that we can do better as a team. The individuals is definitely where I've noticed in our guys making bigger strides in their game from those.
Well, Jim, you've been hard at it this fall. You want to kind of update us on where you've been and what's been going on with your team?
Yeah, sure. You know, the start of the season, I split the squad up. I host a tournament called the Dale Short Shootout. Coach Dale was the men's coach here at Middle Tennessee for 25 years. He actually won the NCAA doubles title with his two doubles players in 2007. And then he retired after winning the national championship. Nice way to go out, right? And then, so I named a fall tournament after him. What I do is it's actually a mock duel. I try to get the same feeling as a duel match, but without the duel score, the team scoring. So I have six guys stick around with that. We actually did phenomenally. We played out of the 24 matches, we won 21 matches. So that's a pretty good win-loss record, 21-3, I think. And then I sent two guys out to the UVA plus ranked plus one event. My number one player started the season off at number 64, don't quote me on that, in the country, and sent him out there with one of my new incoming freshmen. And they did pretty well, got a couple wins out there, but that's obviously a tough place to play with the great things that UVA and UVA has been able to do out there and obviously ACC country. And then a couple guys went to Alabama and played a strong tournament down there in Alabama. Coach down there, George, put on a great event to get a lot of guys four singles and three doubles. And then I took a few players out to Tulsa for the ITL American. That's a lot. Obviously, it's a national event, so it's a high-level event. We were able to get a couple W's out there, but you know, you always want to do a little bit better. So, and we're just getting ready for this ITA regional event today. It looks like we're going to end up driving to Nashville since it's raining to go get a little hit in, and then get ready to play tomorrow.
Well, Jim, now. You get done with this fall season, let's skip ahead just a little bit and get into that spring season. Before we get too far away, is the fall season, is that just to get a lot of matches in for you, find the doubles combinations? How do you approach it?
Yeah, you know, for me, I'm a little different than a lot of the other coaches. I only play three events in the fall. I use it, you know, really focus on development. You know, this is actually the first year in my career that I'm not attempting to add a player in January. So I've got my eight, and I'm, you know, sticking with these eight. I'm not trying to add anybody in January, so I've got a nice, you know, team chemistry with these eight, and still sorting out the doubles teams, but I usually use the fall to really focus on fitness and all those individual workouts. You know, make some strides in everybody's game. You know, we're doing that. We've only got one more tournament after this regional event. It's another tournament up at Vanderbilt, a little Vanderbilt scramble. I've started to identify a couple of the doubles teams that I like. You know, it's all about chemistry in my mind, making sure the two guys can work together and pick each other up and help each other out. So, yeah, that's the plan going into the spring.
Yeah, and so, Jim, are you a guy that helps his players look for these USTA Futures events and get them some extra matches? Are you for that, against that? What's your philosophy on that?
No, you know, actually, we're pretty fortunate. You know, there's one coming up here at the end of October down in Birmingham. You know, my administration's not really keen on us going to play pro events, which is just fine. But the guys, you know, they can sign up for them on their own. You know, I encourage them to, obviously, because I'm all about matches. You know, my philosophy, you know, is obviously, you know, three-prong. It's matches, you know, focus on the fitness, and then obviously lots of individual attention. So, you know, any chance we can go ahead and get some extra matches. I believe I've got a couple guys that are planning down to go down to Birmingham and play the future down there. I think a couple of the other ones that are coming up are down in Florida, a little bit farther for us. Birmingham's only about 2.5-3 hours, so we can pull that one off without missing too much school.
Cool. So let's get into that spring semester. Do you bring your kids in early, or do you let the school start and let them get there?
Yeah, you know, I actually do bring them in a couple days early. You know, we unfortunately, a couple of the, well, Middle Tennessee is very strange as far as with Conference USA. I don't know how much you've looked into these different conferences and what they do, but Conference USA has no built-in conference schedule. So we have no guaranteed matches or built-in rivalries with some of these other schools in Conference USA, which is pretty unique, you know, coming from Drake University and Virginia Tech, where you've already got these built-in schedules. It makes it quite difficult to schedule because, you know, come April and March, you know, a lot of the SEC and the ACC, they've already got plenty of good matches. So they're not really looking to add any other strong teams at that time. So what ends up happening is a Middle Tennessee, you know, I need to schedule the ACC, ACC, and Big Ten in the months of January and February. So I end up having to start my spring season fairly early into January, which kind of cuts our winter break a little short. You know, we get the guys back after it. And actually, this year will probably be one of the years I'll probably be the most excited because this new indoor tennis center is opening January 1st. So I'm going to be a lot happier in my new indoor building than I am going up to Nashville to play at that time of the year.
Jim, your season loaded with some good opponents. Why don't you let us know what the highlights for you as you look at it as a head coach? What are you looking forward to in that spring, some matches?
You know, there's a bunch on my schedule I'm looking forward to. Like I said, you know, we're pretty fortunate. We've got a great travel budget, and I don't even know if I mentioned, but we actually have our own school private airplane, which we're able to fly around in, 10-passenger King Air, which is pretty unique. and another great recruiting tool for us. But, you know, kind of like feel like I'm Roger Federer flying around in a private jet. You know, there are definitely some big ones. You know, always returning to Chicago and playing Northwestern is always a big one. I think I've now played Northwestern 5 years in a row, and every year, unfortunately, we've lost 4-3 every year. It's come down to the last match, which obviously I'm sure you know Northwestern's got a very strong program. But, you know, returning home for me to bring out my family and have them come out is always a great one. You know, we're for the first time in a long time, we're hosting Vanderbilt at the new at our new indoor facility, which with four seniors, they're very excited about. I feel like the telltale trip of the year is going to be when my team, we go out to San Diego and play, I think it's like the University of San Diego / San Diego State 18 Classic with Harvard, Princeton, Drake, San Diego, San Diego State, I don't even know, Denver, a number of other teams are out there, and pretty much out there, you know, you come back with two or three wins out there, and you can solidify yourself as a top 30 team. So, you know, those are some big ones. You know, it's hard for me to pick one, you know, exactly. I'm just, to be honest, I'm really just excited to be playing in our new indoor tennis center in the months of January and February. You know,
and I don't blame you one bit. I mean, that you know, when you step foot in that facility for the first time and you start striking balls, you kind of breathe a big sigh of relief there. That you know, well, this is a lot of hard work from a lot of good people that have put in a lot of good time here to get this thing done, and well deserved for the whole school, the whole community up there.
Oh yeah, I mean, and what's great about it is, it's not just going to be the team facility. I mean, it's going to really pick up Murfreesboro tennis, and you know, Murfreesboro is actually, you know, obviously the name Middle Tennessee. We're located in the center of the state, and actually where we're building the courts, there's already 24 outdoor courts. So 24 outdoor courts plus 8 indoor courts. You know, we're going to be able to bring some very big tournaments to this area. And I believe it's going to help me with recruiting. It's just going to help build tennis in the area. I'm excited to have a place for my children to learn tennis. I mean, it's going to be great for the whole city. The revenue that's going to be able to bring brought in, and the jobs it's creating alone. I know we're hiring, I think they're hiring 6 full-time employees, 3 tennis pros and 3 facility managers for the project, and I'm sure there'll be more.
That's outstanding. I mean, that is truly a model for a lot of communities that have these college campus facilities to utilize the community campus working together to promote tennis. And you know, in the meantime, I mean, you know, I would be hoping that every once in a while we get a hometown recruit out of this, right, Jim?
Oh, I mean, I love it. You know, I teach a couple private lessons to some smaller, you know, younger children. You know, I'm only allowed to teach, you know, kids that are not in high school, 8th grade and younger. And, you know, I'd love to see, you know, some of these kids continue their passion for tennis and continue to develop and, you know, be able to reach a level where they can come play Division I tennis. Tennessee's, you know, a strong tennis state. I mean, with Chattanooga and Memphis and Knoxville and Nashville are some pretty strong cities with some great coaches. So, you know, I hope Murfreesboro can, you know, add itself to that list and, you know, be able to develop a number of our own local talent.
Jim, I hope you're right. I mean, Tennessee is the only state in the union that actually has the word tennis in it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So, you know, you guys through the years, I think it was it Chris Woodruff? Did he come out of Tennessee?
Yeah, Woodruff. You know, there were a number of great players that came out of Chattanooga. I'm trying. You know, Brian Baker is here in Nashville training. I actually saw him a couple weeks ago. He's getting ready to put together his one last push for his pro tennis. I'm trying to think of some others. some other big names. There's a number of older guys out of Chattanooga that I can't think of right now. But yeah, there's been a lot of great players.
Yeah. Jim, now let's talk just a little bit, and we'll finish off here. I sent you a couple of questions, and I know we've been talking for a little while, but I got to get your opinion about a couple of things. I want to talk to you. We've talked about the American versus international thing here. We understand the philosophy a little bit as to what you've got there. It seems that you're working on attracting more American players to your school. And the school realizes that they're part of a diverse population up there. But I got to ask you, have you noticed, is there a good synergy here? Do these American and international players work well at your school?
You know, I think they do. I think it's a matter of you know, finding, you know, the right guys. I think, everything is about, you know, finding the right person and quality people. Here at Middle Tennessee, I think it's been a facilities issue, you know. And now I think that'll change, and I think the dynamic of my team will continue to change and morph. And obviously with this tennis center, like you said, I'd like to see some more local talent out of Murfreesboro. I mean, there's no reason with our strong academics and great university, we shouldn't be able to get more American kids.
Yeah, here in Texas, we've got a good Hispanic population that's contributing to tennis. The African American population is coming along. I think they're a little slower than what I'd like to see, because we've got Dino, they're great contributors to our sport. Help me out in Tennessee. Are you guys getting some good minority participation in the programs up there?
You know, in Nashville, I would say it's definitely more diverse. And so is Memphis. You know, I feel like Chattanooga, and is a little bit behind as far as that goes. You know, but it's definitely growing. It's funny. My team and myself are involved in a number of community outreach programs to try to get reach some of these different groups. To try to build more interest. Unfortunately, Murfreesboro, just like it's building this brand new tennis park, but we've got a massive indoor basketball complex that hosts a number of major basketball events. We're in a really strong area for football, and we actually have one of the largest soccer complexes in the country. So unfortunately, the strong athletes in Tennessee just get pulled in every direction, especially in the Nashville area. But hopefully it'll continue to improve, and we'll see more and more kids from different demographics and to play tennis.
Well, within the tennis community, we saw that Lee Na was going to give a big push to the Asian population. Kei Nishikori recently. Are you seeing more Asians come out for tennis in the Tennessee area?
Yeah, I am. I am seeing it. I'm constantly trying to help out with our junior tennis programs, and I'm here in Murfreesboro in the Murfreesboro Tennis Association, and I'm definitely seeing a trend of some new demographics and a wider range coming out to play. And it's just a matter of keeping them interested in the game, at least in my experience.
Jim, being one of the top up and coming college coaches, and I don't want to use that term that we mentioned earlier. You've got to have had a pretty good look at professional tennis in America. What do you think about the direction of it?
this is always the debate. Obviously, I see both sides of it. All of us college tennis coaches getting together and discussing it, and talking to the recruits and their parents, and hearing their side of things on how they want to see changes made. I feel like we've just got to continue to embrace college tennis you know, as the stepping stool for American tennis players. You know, there's a lot of different philosophies and thoughts out there, and you know, maybe college tennis should be changed so that we can push more American tennis players. But you know, we've only started the Quick Start tennis. I mean, how many years has Quick Start been going? I'm not even sure. But you know, we're not going to see the results of the, you know, the U.S. moving more to the Quick Start tennis for a number of years. It's going to take a little bit of time. So as far as that goes, you know, I think in the meantime, we've just got to continue to use college tennis and continue to promote it as to help us develop more and more pros, American pros.
Yeah. You know, speaking of college tennis, Jim, we almost underwent a serious change in regards to some of that scoring system in the college tennis game. Were you pro for that, against it? How? What were your feelings on that?
Yeah, you know, it's been pretty interesting. You know, I'm involved in listening to both sides of the argument. And with the coaches, and I think I've had a couple conversations with the Vanderbilt coach, Ian Duvenhag, about it. And you know, I really would like to just see us as college tennis coaches kind of, you know, come up with a unified front. I'm not really thrilled with the way, you know, we're coming across to athletic directors and to, you know, to potential recruits and kids on the, you know, even your current student athletes. You know, when they hear about us all as coaches having a wide variety of opinions, you know, I think we need to kind of keep our business to ourselves and come up with a unified stance on what we're going to do. I'm not too keen on all this back and forth and, you know, as far as the different philosophies and formats we should be doing. But, you know, I've seen it from what I've understood. I mean, I wasn't playing college tennis when the NOAD, we were playing NOAD before, but I mean, the statistics show that we, you know, we were developing a number of great players in pro tennis then, and I know we're developing, you know, strong players in pro tennis now. So I'm a little bit on the line there as far as which way I'm leaning. Not too much opinion coming out of me on that one.
Well, Jim, let me see if I can get this straight. So my understanding is that, and I'll use an analogy here, that you're saying that college football programs at the Division II, III, NAIA level, Division I level, they're not tinkering with their scoring system and saying that JUCO should only score 5 points for a touchdown and at Division III you should only score 4 points, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again for me.
Well, what I'm saying here is that there's not a lot of tinkering going on with the other sports and their scoring systems. Football has a place where you get 6 points for a touchdown and a point for an extra point, and they seem to be just fine with that. Basketball, you get 2 points, 4 points. But for some reason in the tennis world, we all of a sudden think that we need to change something that's been working for, 100 years now?
Well, it has been changed. I mean, but it has been changed in college tennis. It's been changed a number of times. I mean, you know, some of the most recent ones that you could say about the doubles. You know, they used to play 2 out of 3 sets for doubles. Now then we changed the format, you know. I mean, but if you're focusing on just the NOAD, you know, the NOAD has been implemented. I think I'm assuming you were coaching at that time, weren't you?
Oh yeah, no, I was not. No, we've messed around at different tournaments doing different things. I personally am not a fan of the NOAD system. I like to see tennis played in its traditional way. But that I'm out of the sport, and that's my opinion as it is now.
Yeah, I do feel like the NOAD is definitely taking out some of the aspects of it's hurting my program. I mean, as far as you know, how much emphasis I put on physical fitness. You know, I don't feel like you need to be in as great a shape with the NOAD. You know, however, I also see the other side with, you know, some of these athletic directors saying the matches are too long and as far as fan support. So you know, like I said, I'm still pretty much on the fence. You know, I've never experienced a whole season with no ads. You know, we've played a couple matches with it, but you know, I'm definitely a traditionalist, but at the same time, I like to keep my mind open to trying some new things. So, you know, I'm on the fence there.
Yeah. Now, Jim, I know you're getting ready to head off to practice here. Can you give me a quick list of the schools you're going to see at this regional championship this weekend?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think in the first couple rounds, I want to say I think we're playing Indiana, Kentucky, East Tennessee State University, and I think the last one we're playing a qualifier, but the qualifier will either be someone from Tennessee Chattanooga or Moorhead in Kentucky. So, but there's other teams as well. University of Tennessee is in there. Indiana, Purdue, Kentucky, Memphis is a very strong program that's in there as well. So that's pretty much the Ohio Valley teams right there. I know there's a couple teams that aren't playing this year. They opted not to play, so that's kind of strange.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'm sorry?
Vanderbilt. I said you mentioned
Vanderbilt. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's the host, so yeah, they're definitely there. Got a number of strong players this year. He's got a really strong senior named Austin Gonzalez, an African American guy. He was number one in the nation in junior tennis coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We shall see.
Very good, Coach. This has been an outstanding interview. I said it before I came on. I really didn't know much about you in regards to what was happening, what was going on. We visited before on the phone, but just get to spend an hour with you and share philosophy and what's going on there at Middle Tennessee State. You guys are doing a great job for the sport of tennis.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm glad we were to link up. And if you're ever interested in having me back, you just let me know.
Coach, you're one of those guys I am interested in having back on, so I'm going to keep you around.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you have a great day, and good luck this weekend with that tournament. I hope you knock off some big teams and get in that winner's circle again.
I hope so. All right, you take care now.
Take care, Coach.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Coach Jim Borendame, and Jim out at Middle Tennessee State in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Those people out there are getting it. You know, they cooperated and developed quite a program. They've developed quite a facility, and they went in and cooperated with the city, the state, the USTA, the ITA, the NCAA, and look at what happened. A $5.8 million indoor complex, an $80,000 scoreboard, all going in the same season. There aren't a lot of, and I know this for a fact, a lot of college teams in the United States, super conferences, regardless of where you're at, that are getting that kind of support for their tennis programs. And I know here in the state of Texas, personally, that some of the great tennis programs here in the state are not even getting that kind of attention, and that's sad, sad to say. So hats off out there to those Middle Tennessee State tennis teams, those players, the men's and the women's, the people of that great city. You guys are setting an example. We love to hear those leading by example stories, and I hope that other people will contact that community and say, how did you do that? We need to do that ourselves. Now, I'm going to leave today, and I haven't been, many of you know perhaps that I have been off the air for a little while, and for me, I had to take care of some things, and that happens when you're on as a volunteer in regards to these things. But in the time that I've been away, tennis itself lost a great teacher, and that was Mr. Vic Braden. And, you know, heaven won a great teacher. Vic was a guy that I learned about in Tennis Tech, and teaching children Vic Sway was one of the books that one of the guys, Paul Solis, that was the director of the program, introduced us to, and very traditional in his approach, and but always willing to learn something new and different. And that's what made Vic good. He was scientific in his approach. He studied it and put it to the research, and just loved what he did. One of my favorite all-time things that I loved about Vic was the story about him taking a professional player out to the tennis court and having this professional player swing 100 times flat towards the net, and then counting how many times this professional tennis player got the ball over the net out of 100 times. And the answer was they never got it over the net, because if you swing flat, the ball is going to go 3 feet and the net's 3 feet tall, so they're not going to make it over the net. And that let everyone know that tennis is indeed a lifting game. And that is a great secret there for all of you people that play tennis. Tennis is an uplifting game. When you play that game, when you play it on a regular basis, it does lift you up, and that's what sometimes people forget. And sometimes you have to step away and look at it a little bit differently for a while, and look at it in different angles. But that's what Vic taught us to do. And you know, there was probably a big pep rally when that man got up there, and a welcome home sign, and 85 years of age, and sad to leave this place down here. But they probably got a brand new bunch of tennis information up there, and they're probably pretty excited on how to play tennis a little bit differently. So anyway, we'll get back at it next week. We'll have another guest in here. We'll talk some more tennis. Hope you'll pick up our show on the iTunes. Subscribe to our network. Make sure that you listen to some of our other shows. We try each week, like I said, to give you some tennis knowledge, and we're blessed and highly favored in that regard. And as my good friend down in the Kingwood, Aaron Best, says that best, just keep it up and keep moving out there. Go hit some tennis balls if you can. And thanks for joining us today. Have a great day. Bye-bye.